Next, we have Andy Kummel, who's going to speak about cultural, biological, biochemical, and nanoscale mechanisms to address disparities along the cancer continuum.
Why, thank you. So this talk was actually put together by several people. And I'm Andy Kummel. I'm the Assistant Director of the Cancer Center for Physical Sciences and Engineering. And you'll notice the first two people here are from chemistry. The next two people are from engineering. Then Elena Martinez and Tony Reed are in the medical school, and Jean Wang and Donger Zhang are joint between the medical school and biology, and several of us from chemistry and engineering have students or labs in the cancer center. So this is already an area that truly is cross-disciplinary, and I've also listed here many of the programs and departments that participate in looking at issues related to metastatic cancer, focused on the Moores Cancer Center and our partnership with SDSU. And metastatic cancer occurs more readily in underserved populations. And the reason for that is a perfect storm, which is the best way to avoid metastatic cancer, unfortunately, is early detection. And as I'll show you in a minute, early detection is highly correlated with economic status. So the first problem is that economic, cultural, and social barriers to prevention, screening, and early detection. And then we have the problem that minority populations may not receive appropriate treatment. There's a lack of guidance and appropriate personalized care, and this leads very often to aggressive cancer. And I have some statistics I got from a report from the National Cancer Institute. So over here is the prevalence of screening, and this is colorectal here, this is pap smear, and this is mammograms. For in yellow here, people who do not have insurance, people who have Medicaid and private insurance. And you can see here, there's over a factor of two difference in screening, say, for colorectal cancer. And these differences, unfortunately, result in the stage at which the cancer is presented. So over here, we've plotted when, for breast cancer, the ratio of being presented at stage 3 and 4, which is metastatic, for which we know there's very bad outcomes, divided by stage 1, for which there's absolutely excellent outcomes. And you can see over here, unfortunately, that African Americans are twice as likely to present at late stage versus early stage. This would be a very curable cancer, and this would be a very problematic cancer over here. And finally, then there's the issue is once the cancer's been presented, even at late stage, what's the probability of receiving inadequate treatment? And for minority populations, it's much higher than for majority populations. And UCSD is in a very good position to basically address what are these cultural barriers to screening and early intervention. Our strategic advantages are we have collaborations already in the underserved communities, and we have very prominent researchers in this field. Elena Martinez, who's here, is the Associate Director of the Cancer Center for Disparities Research. And what's really needed is that we need to have faculty come in who are population scientists with disparities expertise who can work with in a team science environment along with basic scientists. For instance, it's not just studying who the underserved are. Then the issue is how do we get appropriate and economical screening in place so we can detect cancer at an earlier stage before it's metastatic. And now I'm going to go through some of the technologies that are being worked on at UCSD to address metastatic cancer, because it's very unlikely we're going to eliminate poverty in the next 10 years. So we always are going to have this issue of people presenting late, unfortunately, unnecessarily. So this is a technology that's being developed specifically to address metastatic cancer, which is novel, which is Tony Reed has developed viruses, which when they infect normal cells, do not reproduce. But when they infect cancer cells, they reproduce and put off orders of magnitude more daughter viruses. So it's essentially a self-replicating drug. So once you infect the primary tumor, these daughter viruses can go out and then affect the metastatic cancer sites. The problem is, as we all know, that our bodies develop antibodies to these viruses, which inhibit our ability to inject them. So groups have been working upon taking these viruses and encapsulating them in a lipid, a fatty membrane here, with targeting on them. And this would enable us to use this treatment and inject patients multiple times. And UCSD is in a very good position for this. Tony Reed, who's at the Cancer Center, is an expert in oncolytic viruses. Myself, Leon Feng Zhang, and others are experts in liposomal encapsulation. We have a large patient base, and we already have a collaboration to SDSU, a minority-serving institution, via the U54. But what's needed here in the future is faculty who are not just trained in biology or nanotechnology, but who are really bio-nanotechnologists and support staff for nanoanalytics. This is an idea which came up also upon a biological solution to metastatic cancer from Gene Wang. And this shows you the progression of cancer. Cancer starts off as a small, well-contained tumor such as carcinoma in situ. I'm sure you have heard of ductal carcinoma in situ for breast cancer. And then it progresses to being invasive carcinoma locally. This is bad enough, but where things get worse is these shed cancer cells, and these become circulating cancer cells in your circulatory system, and they go off and they see micrometastasis and then macrometastasis, and this is why eventually there'll be a patient demise, is the metastases. And the idea is that we need to work on our tissue engineering. So what we want to do is have a tissue graph where the cells that are implanted actually excrete molecules that attract these circulating cancer cells here and kill them, essentially a self-regenerating trapping mechanism for circulating metastatic cancer cells. UCSD, this is a very complicated problem, but UCSD already has great technological expertise and collaborations between the School of Medicine, the Jacobs School of Engineering, the Institute for Engineering and Medicine, and our Systems Biology Center. We have campus experts in cancer biology, Gene Wang, Donger Zhang, and cancer biochemistry. And again, a multidisciplinary collaboration is required where we really have people working together and not in their separate labs. And we need FTEs in this area, in an area where we are underrepresented in terms of a knowledge base, which is tissue engineering and metastatic research in model organisms. Now, in terms of something that's a little bit easier to do in the short term is, as you know, we treat metastatic cancer now with drug therapy, but it doesn't work because the cancer cells, when you have metastasis, actually develop little pumps to pump out the cancer drugs. They develop mechanisms to alter the cancer drugs, and it's very tough. So the idea is we use two drugs, but sometimes the drugs get transported to the cells at different rates because some are hydrophobic and hydrophilic. And then the idea is that we're going to make a nanoparticle here, and this is from Lian Feng Zhang, where we incorporate both drugs so we can deliver precise drug ratios to each cancer cell in the body. And here we have Lian Feng Zhang, who's one of the few engineers who actually has his laboratory in the cancer center, David Cherish, who's an expert in liposomal targeting, Nathan Gianischi and Roger Chen, our Nobel Prize winner, who work on bioreactive nanoparticles. And then we have a team over here of Emmanuel Theodorakis, Seth Cohn, and Napoleon Ferrara, who develop novel cancer drugs. Here, FTEs would be needed in soft materials, nanotechnology, biochemical drug targeting, and drug synthesis. And finally, the area is to prevent metastasis in our current populations is early screening. You can look in the blood for basically DNA, free circulating DNA, and Mike Keller has developed arrays at Nano 3, our nanofabrication facility, to pull these out, and these are from patient blood from CLL patients. You also can do bioinformatics, taking a look at the microRNAs or the DNA of patients, and microRNAs are great because sometimes patients overexpress microRNA related to cancer by 1,000x, or automated imaging over here from Santosh Kasari and Dale, which shows that you can write algorithms looking at how water diffuses in the brain to identify a tumor here in pink or the surrounding tissue. And this brings down tremendously the cost of early screening. So what we're proposing here is a more long-term thing, which is what we really need is a cadre of new faculty in all of these areas here who would have laboratories over at the cancer center so they'd be working synergistically. So in my building, we have two departments all on separate floors. In my neighboring building, we have three departments all on our separate floors. I don't think I've ever even had a drink with a cell biologist in my building. But on the other hand, at the cancer center, they're actually sharing their cell culture rooms, they're sharing their fax machines, they're all working together, and we have two new buildings going up that should be completed by 2016, so where there's a real opportunity. We also have needs for staff and equipment on main campus to support nanoanalytics, such as cryo-EM and cryo-fib, and a joint laboratory on campus for cancer research. For community medicine, we need staff to enhance and foster the underserved community engagement and clinical research support. And thank you for your patience.